Hi there. You're listening to the Trinity Community Church podcast, TCC, a home for you.
Good morning, Trinity. How are you? Are you sleepy today? How many of you, men, how many of you this daylight savings hit you like a train? Not one of them little like, you know, like Tom the train. We're like a big train, right? Suck it up. It'll be fine. Why do we still do this daylight savings thing? I would write my congressman right now. I mean, not right now, but later, right? Just one reminder real quick. Don't forget why we exist. Jesus said this. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How many of you know that we're the workers? If every church in our corridor would get out into the fields, take the posture that Jesus wants us to take, and bring them in, how many of you know that it would radically change our entire region, if not the world? So I want to encourage you, keep the main thing the main thing. Go into the fields. We've got some great field opportunities. Easter is coming. This is a great opportunity to invite your friends, your neighbors, and your loved ones to encounter Jesus. We got all these things behind me. Again, I'm not going to rehash all of them. I keep saying them. I feel like a broken record every week. Just know this. Invite, pray, get involved. We have a special service for you today. My good friend Robert Stearns is here. He is, I've known Robert for over 20 years now. We get older, grayer. When I knew Robert, he had hair. Not a lot of hair, but he had hair. There was some hair there. Robert is very unique. He is a voice that I don't think just pertains to the region. His voice is something that impacts the world. He's here today not by accident. He's here today by divine appointment and design. So I want to encourage you today. Let your heart be open. Hear what God is doing in him and through him, and receive what he's going to bring to us today as a church. Everybody make Robert Stearns feel welcome.
Amen. Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made. We will. Oh, that didn't sound very caffeinated. That sounded like a decaffeinated version. I need the caffeinated version. We will. We will rejoice and be glad. It is such a privilege and blessing to be back with the Trinity family. I thank God for what he is doing in the midst of this covenantal community, in the midst of this church. I have known your pastor and his family forever. We have been on this journey of friendship together. And you already know this, but you are massively blessed as a people to have Pastor TJ and Robin and their whole family ministering here in your midst and leading this house. Can we thank God for this incredible pastor, this amazing family? When I think of Pastor TJ, the word that comes to my heart is the word faithful. He is a faithful servant of the Lord. He is consistent. He is true. He is faithful. And can I tell you, in a day where ministries come and go, things come and go, to find those who are faithfully working in the field of the Lord is a beautiful and a blessed thing. And so I'm just honored to be here again. And we are... Eagles Wings is the ministry that I lead. We have a table out in the back to the right as you go out. And we are your arm, your hand, your voice extended into Israel and into the Holy Land. We have been ministering in Jerusalem, in Israel, in the Holy Land for the past 30 years. This is our 30th year anniversary this year. We're going to be gathering in Buffalo in July for our 30th year conference. And God has opened up an effectual door for us to be a bridge and a voice on behalf of the Christian church to these people who are Jesus' biological family. Did you know Jesus is not Swedish? Jesus is not Swedish. Jesus is not Puerto Rican. Some of you aren't so sure, right? Right. We have a tendency, right? Did you know Jesus is not a Southern Baptist? Oh. Jesus is not assembly of God. There is a Jewish man living in our hearts. There's a Jewish man seated on the right hand of God on high. This is what the Bible says. This isn't like the guest preacher talking. This is what the Bible says. That makes a difference. It makes a difference in how we interpret history, how we understand scripture, how we understand our faith journey. And I went to Israel. I am not Jewish. People make the assumption that I'm Jewish. My last name sounds Jewish. I'm in Israel all the time. They assume I'm Jewish. I'm not Jewish. I grew up in a church just like this one, Bible-believing, traditional, evangelical church. And I took one trip to Israel, and that trip changed my life. Absolutely transformed my life. How many of you have been to Israel? Raise your hand if you've been to Israel. Lift it high, nice and high. All right, all right. How many of you have not been to Israel? Raise your hand. All right, we're going to have a time of repentance right before the end of the service so you can get right with God. We are going to be bringing a Trinity trip to Israel in the very near future. I know that because I just announced it. I haven't checked with Pastor yet, but that's a minor detail that will work out. Something happens. Something happens when you stand in the land of the Bible and you begin to understand that your faith is not just lyrics on a screen. It is a matter of historic fact. And then you begin to see this biological family of Jesus, the Jewish people. And for 2,000 years, there has not been conversation between the followers of Jesus, Christians, and the family of Jesus, the Jewish people. For 2,000 years, we have been separated and not in communication together. And that is the hour that we are living in. God is bringing Jew and Gentile together in extraordinary, amazing ways. And we have the privilege to be your hand, your voice extended there in the middle of Israel, in the middle of God's heart for Jerusalem and for the Jewish people. In a moment, and I know that time is against us today, I don't know, I'd like to reclaim the time we lost or something. Can I do that? Like, I feel like one of the senators. Like, can I get an hour back? I need an hour with y'all. But we'll just go over into the next service and they'll have to find a seat. I don't know, we'll figure something out. If I get a moment, I'm going to share a little bit more about this date, but let me say this. October 7th changed history. We haven't fully absorbed that yet. We're still in the after effects of that. But October the 7th is the greatest loss of Jewish life in one day since the Holocaust. Since 6 million Jews were burned alive in the ovens of Hitler in Christian Germany. Not in some barbaric part of our world, not in some uncivilized part of our world, not in some part of our world that had never been modernized. No, Christian Germany allowed the rise of Hitler, which resulted in the extermination of one third of the Jewish people. Because the church was not united and the church was silent as evil rose. Beloved, can I tell you, I love our services. I love all that God does in these wonderful times. But can I tell you, outside these doors, the world's going crazy. We are living in a world that is coming apart at the seams. We are living in a world of such fear and such anger and such divisiveness. Our nation is about to enter into a season as we approach this election that is going to test this nation, I think, in a way we've never been tested before. We're moving to this time where now algorithms are fighting algorithms. And the algorithm decides that I'm going to sow fear and I'm going to sow terror and I'm going to sow lies into the other so I can polarize. Why? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so we have a nation becoming increasingly polarized. You say, oh, this guest speaker is getting political. I'm not getting political. God is not a Democrat. God is not a Republican. God is the king. He sits high above all these political moments. And it matters far less who ends up in the White House. What matters is that God's glory is restored to his house and the presence and power of God begins to come back to the church in America. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be involved. That doesn't mean we shouldn't vote our biblical values. Of course that's important. Of course that's urgent. But beloved, salvation never comes from a political process. Salvation comes from the realm of God's glory. So October the 7th, we were in Israel. We had just finished leading our largest group ever. We had 320 pilgrims from 18 nations, 6 buses. And the 6th, the evening of the 6th, we brought them to Ben Gurion Airport. We got them off on the airplanes. They left, and my children and I went back to Jerusalem to our hotel. My son Michael is here. My other son is on a missions trip in Brazil, and the other son is visiting his aunt and uncle in Chicago, in Bolingbrook. And we were staying a few days extra. We were going to be doing some filming. We're going to be on the 700 Club and some different filming. And all of a sudden, we woke up that next morning, the morning of the 6th, and alarms were ringing through the hotel. Now, here's what I want to say to you that is so crazy. Because we've been to Israel for 30 years. The alarms are ringing in the hotel, and I say to my kids, well, don't worry about it. It's probably just a rocket attack. Do you understand how crazy that is? But that's the reality of what Israel lives with on a constant basis. Rockets that come over constantly, constantly, constantly. Can you imagine if Jersey was bombing Delaware every day? And so the first time the alarms went off, we just thought, well, we're familiar with this. This is just a normal terror attack. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a people and living in a land where you've become so accustomed to terror attacks that, oh, this is just a normal terror attack? But as the day unfolded, it became clear that something far, far more horrible was taking place. Far more atrocious, far more horrific. We were caught in the war, caught in Jerusalem for about 5 days, could not get out. Finally, some highly placed friends got a hold of me and they said, Robert, we've got to get you and your family out of here. They arranged for us to get a van through the night into Jordan. Took a van into Amman, Jordan. We had to get out. We had to walk through no man's land. The borders between the nations. Security was unbelievably tight. It was a crazy experience. We got to Jordan, spent the night in Jordan, and then flew to Doha, Qatar, and then back to America. I don't have time this morning to get into all of this except to say this. There's one tiny piece of land in all the world, one tiny piece of land where the Jewish people live in safety and security, even though they are surrounded by a sea of enemies. 54 Muslim majority nations in our world, one tiny, tiny Jewish democratic state of Israel, a generation after the Holocaust, struggling for its life, feeling alone, feeling abandoned, feeling as though the world has turned their back on them. And God has connected us at the front lines of this situation to be your voice, to be your heart extended to the biological family of Jesus. I want you to come with me quickly by video to Jerusalem. I want you to see just a little bit of the work that our partnership together is able to accomplish. Come with me. This is just a few days after October the 7th.
Good evening from Israel, a nation beyond stunned tonight, vulnerable in ways it has never had to accept after a far weaker adversary, Hamas, unleashed a ferocious attack over the weekend. Since we arrived on the ground here, we have seen incredible stories of bravery and loss and seen unforgettable images of violence.
On the front lines, you are actually under rocket fire. There's rockets falling around you. Give us the update from Jerusalem, Shai.
Bishop Stearns, we appreciate everything you've done and continue to do in Eagle's Wings as being such a partner with. We actually just had missiles fly overhead. This is all happening in real time. The spirits are extremely high. We have psychologists, we have our paramedics, we have doctors, we have police officers, and everyone is one nation.
This is a defibrillator that is being purchased with this $40,000 donation.
I want to say thank you to you, to the whole community. I love you so much, and I love all the pastors you always bring from all over the world. And you are an incredible inspiration for us.
Anyone who loves the Jewish people, everyone who loves Israel, God bless them. God bless them. Because if you don't protect Israel now, the world is not going to be safe. We need to protect Israel so this could not happen anywhere else.
There are millions and millions of Christians standing with you. We stand with you and we say, Am Yisrael Chai, be strong.
Am Yisrael Chai, I love you. I love all of you.
God bless you. All right, thank you, Shai. Tell us very quickly some examples of what Abraham's Bread has accomplished over the past week or so.
Starting October 8th, Sunday morning, October 8th, we turned each one of our centers into a collection point for goods, food, and services. We've been cooking 15,000 meals a day to bring to displaced families and frontline soldiers. These families are staying in hotels all over the country. They're staying with family, and Abraham's Bread are providing meals at these hotels. We are providing them mattresses. Last week, we went to a mattress factory and purchased 1,200 mattresses because our troops on the front line were sleeping on the floor. And we are trying to fill, with your support, every need that we hear. They know they can come to us, and we have the infrastructure and the ability to jump in and help.
For such a time as this, this is why we've been working. This is why we've been praying. This is why we've been giving. This is why we've been building this partnership. So, Mimi, we're releasing immediately to you the next $25,000. We're getting that to you today. And we're going to be continuing to raise support. We're going to be continuing to stand with you. You can count on $25,000 coming to you today to strengthen everything you're doing on the front lines.
We are in a situation that it's very complicated. We are preparing ourselves. We are full alert all the time. After what we saw 2 weeks ago in Gaza, we understand that we must have here cameras and communication and everything we need so we can be safe, because our future might be like people in Gaza, like people that in the settlements near Gaza. Please help us. We don't want this to happen to us. Keep praying. Thank you very much.
the front lines bringing God's support, God's message of hope and help to those who are fighting literally for their very existence. I want to invite you, as you're engaging, you're seeking to understand what's going on over there. We are there constantly. I've been there twice now since the war began. We just led a group of pastors, a solidarity mission over there, leading pastors throughout. They're putting up a social media slide. I want to invite you to take your phones out quickly right now and follow us on social media. Join us on Instagram. Join us on Facebook. We are on the front lines, and as you're navigating, trying to understand, I know there's complexity, I know there's confusion, there's a lot of agendas that are operating when you get to the question of Israel and the Middle East, and we've spent 30 years deeply entrenched in this conversation, friendship with Jews, friendship with Arabs, friendship with Muslims, friendship with Palestinians, seeking to be God's peace ambassador in the midst of this challenging situation. So follow us on social, and after the service, meet me at the table in the back. I'll look forward to getting more acquainted with you. Let me ask you a question. Most of you in this room will relate to this question. There's a few of you who won't, but most of you will. Where were you on September 11th? Where were you? Do you remember? Do you have that etched in your mind, that moment? Where were you on September 11th? I remember that moment. All of us, if we were of age, remember that moment. I was in New York City. I was in New York. From the building I was in, I could see the skyline of Manhattan as everything unfolded. There are days that change history. There are days where human history shifts. But then there are days where individual history shifts. I remember a time when I was 14 years old. There was an amazing worship leader, an amazing musician. His name was Keith Green. How many of you remember Keith Green? Unbelievable, anointed, powerful musician. He was in his 20s. And he was singing to sold-out crowds all across the nation. Top of the charts. He died tragically in a plane crash. And his wife, his widow, Melody, teamed up with Lauren Cunningham from YWAM. And they began to go across the nation of America. And they began to call people to do what the video Pastor TJ just showed us was, will we go and become his sent ones? Will we go into the harvest? And they called in response to Keith's death that the next generation would hear the call to make a difference in their generation, to answer the call of God. I was 14 years old. It was 41 years ago. I remember that night, and I remember at 14 years old, going up to an altar. I already knew the Lord. I was already saved. I'd already had an experience with the Holy Spirit. But at that altar, I said yes to God for a call to ministry. There are days that change history. And there are days that change our individual history. If I could have a conversation with each and every one of you, there was some day in your history where something momentous took place. You met Jesus. You met the Holy Spirit. You drew close to God. Maybe for someone in this room, today is that day. Maybe for someone in this room, your grandma dragged you to church this morning. Your wife, your husband, your parents, you're here under forceful conditions. But you're not here by accident. God has divine appointments with us when we listen for his voice and we respond to his voice. Very, very quickly, I'm going to do this in less than 9 minutes. Nehemiah chapter 1 is a story that changed both one man's life, Nehemiah's life, and through Nehemiah's life changed history. Why? God loves to partner with people. Is that bizarre? God partners with everyday normal human beings just like you and I. Flawed, broken, messed up human beings. God says, I'm going to show my glory through your life. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to bring my presence into your life, and out of your life story, something powerful is going to happen. I'm speaking to people this morning, and God's hand is on your life for more than just a 9-to-5 job. God wants to write you into his story. God has linked you to this household of faith. I loved the announcement this morning. Attend one and serve at one. Begin to be faithful in little things and watch God begin to extend your borders and put you in charge of much. Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah gets a visit. Where is Nehemiah? He's serving in the courts of a foreign king. He's a Jew, but he's outside of Israel. He's in the Persian Empire, serving in the courts of the king. His brother comes to him and says, Nehemiah, it's terrible. There's been a 9/11. Nehemiah, it's terrible. There's been an October the 7th. Put up chapter 1 for me, please, the first few verses. His brother comes and he says, the walls of Jerusalem have broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. Everything is destroyed. Everything is a disaster. And so Nehemiah gets this message from a far off country. Like, I'm here this morning. I just brought you a message from a far off country. Where are we this morning? What county is this? Newcastle. Newcastle seems just about as far as you can be from the war in Gaza, right? But can I tell you, it's closer than you know. And Nehemiah's brothers come to him and they bring this message. And here is the point, please, if you don't take anything else away this morning, take this. This blows my mind. Nehemiah gets this message and this is what he doesn't do. Nehemiah doesn't say, oh, that's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. Gosh, that's just terrible, that fighting going on over there in Israel. Wow, that's just that. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'll add you to my prayer list. That could have been Nehemiah's response. Nehemiah was living in the lap of luxury. He had an incredible position in the king's palace. He was outside the land of his inheritance. He was outside the land of his calling. He was outside the land of his promise, but he had it pretty good. Sometimes the test is between calling and comfort. Did you hear me? Sometimes our test is between calling and comfort. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1, when Nehemiah got that word, I think it's verse 4, verse 5, it says this, so when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept, I mourned, I prayed, I fasted before God. Nehemiah said this, God, if something is not lining up with your word, with your kingdom, God, use me to change it. Folks, let's pray prayers that we're willing to become the answer to. Let's pray prayers that we're willing to adjust our life, change our priorities, change our schedule, change our budget, change our goals. God, we want to be part of the answer. We've had so much of the church criticizing and standing on the sidelines. I'm longing to see a church that manifests the kingdom of God and brings hope to hopeless situations. And Nehemiah says, God, if you can use me, I'm available. I'm skipping ahead of a lot of this. This is all in my brand new book. This is only the third church that this book is being released in. This is Rise and Rebuild, a guide to overcoming adversity. Anyone ever go through some adversity in your life? Anybody ever have some chapters of your life that if God gave you an eraser, you'd erase that chapter? You'd change those paragraphs? The power of Nehemiah's example to rebuild your life and fulfill your purpose. Nehemiah gets this message, and it was a day that changed Nehemiah's life. He journeyed back to Israel. He met these two characters named Sanballat and Tobiah. I don't have time to tell you about Sanballat and Tobiah this morning, but Sanballat and Tobiah were the voices of doubt and discouragement that if you're going to fulfill the call of God on your life, there's going to be a Sanballat. Someone's going to tell you you can't do it. Someone's going to tell you you're not smart enough, you're not rich enough, you're not powerful enough. Someone's going to fill your mind with doubt. I have no idea how I have ended up doing what I do. I regularly meet with presidents, prime ministers, senators, ambassadors. Regularly. Ongoing part of my journey. I went to the University of Valley Forge when it wasn't even a university. Represent. I didn't go to Harvard. I didn't train in political science. I didn't prepare for interfaith dialogue with theological levels between Orthodox rabbis and I don't know how did I end up here? I said yes to God. I was 14 years old and I said yes to God. And I kept saying yes. Nehemiah got a message that things were not as they should be. And Nehemiah said, yes, there are days that change history, and there are days that change people, and then those people change history. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. I don't know who's out here, who God is about to grab your heart to be a force for his kingdom. Say, Robert, you know, I'm just a Sunday school teacher. Just a Sunday school teacher? Who was Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher? Who were the Sunday school teachers that touched the next generation, that changed history? There are no small assignments in the kingdom of God. God wants to give you this morning the spirit of Nehemiah, the anointing of Nehemiah. I don't know what Sanballat has come against you. I don't know what discouragement, what confrontation, if I can have someone at the piano. I don't know what attack has come against your life. But I've been on the front lines. I've walked through, listen to me please. I have walked through just weeks ago, Kfar Aza, the village where Hamas came through and raped and murdered and slaughtered. Not soldiers, not a police force. No, they murdered mothers with little babies and grandmothers. And out of that mess, Nehemiah's descendants, the Jewish people, are saying, we have to rise and we have to rebuild. We have to defend our homeland, and we are again at a place like they were in the time of Nehemiah, like they were in the time of Esther, like they've been in over and over again. We are again in a moment we need to partner with God to defend what God has given us as our inheritance. I'm closing. I don't know who you are this morning, but if you're 17 or 71, if you've got breath in your body, God has a call on your life. And God is wanting to partner with you to make a difference in history. Discouragement will come, doubt will come, problems will come, but the voice of God is stronger. Your yes in the hand of God is the victory over any circumstance that you face. Would you stand with me this morning? Across the sanctuary, would you take a moment and close your eyes, bow your heads, no one moving, please, no one stirring. Eyes closed, please, heads bowed. Most importantly, hearts open. Just for a moment, we're closing, but just for a moment, please focus. Why? Why? Because I remember a service when I was 14 years old, and maybe there is someone today who's going to say yes to God in a deeper way. You're going to say yes to God to keep fighting for your marriage that right now seems like it's on the rocks. You're going to say yes to God to keep fighting for your teenager or your grandchild who right now is a prodigal. You're going to say yes to God in the midst of not knowing what's happening with your job and feeling confused about your future. You're going to say yes to God and realize that His plans, His thoughts, His ways are higher than yours, and He has your situation. And that yes, just like Nehemiah's yes, can change your history, and your changed history can help change the world. So, Father, I bring these precious people before your throne. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that this morning the voice of the Holy Spirit would be louder than the voice of Sanballat, the voice of Tobiah, the voice of anger and discouragement and defeat. I ask that the God who gives promises that are yes and amen, God, that your voice would speak into every heart, into every soul, into every situation. And now as we close in just a moment, just before I finish this prayer, could I invite you to do this with me all across the sanctuary? Would you, in just a moment, would you give your yes to God? Whatever that means for you right now this morning. Maybe that's believing God for a healing when it's not manifesting right now in your physical body. Maybe it's saying yes to God because you know His hand is on your life for a call to ministry. And you don't know how to navigate that, but you know God's calling you to something greater than your walk. I don't know what it means for you. I just know what it meant for me when I was 14, and I know what it meant for me last week. Why? Because the rest of our life is saying yes to God. So right now, before we hand this service back over to Pastor all across the sanctuary, if you'll give God your yes this morning, would you just lift your heart, lift your voice, lift your hands, and just say yes to God. Go ahead, in whatever way that is for you, just say, God, I give you my yes. God, I say yes to you. Go ahead out loud. Out loud, God, I say yes to you. God, I say yes to you. God, I give you my future. God, I give you my past. God, I give you my bank account. God, I give you my relationships. God, I give you my goals. God, I give you my come on. God, I say yes to you. God, I give you my emotions. God, I give you my fears. God, I say yes to you. I surrender all. God, I say yes to you. Father, this morning, may the anointing of Nehemiah to rise and rebuild, may it rest upon this house. And God, may this region know that there is here not just a nice local church, there is here an embassy for the kingdom of God, where the Spirit of God dwells and the power of God moves. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Trinity Community Church podcast. We hope this met you exactly where you are. To learn more about us, head to our website at tccde.com or follow us on social media at Trinity Community Church. TCC, a home for you.